Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. With me is my good friend Chris Buccanani. Chris, how are we doing?
I'm hanging in there, Jim, getting through this wonderful Penn State football season week by week, just like everyone else.
You and I are old enough to have lived through some of the dark days.
Sure. Yeah.
In our lifetime, I think we could talk in terms of two very defined periods of dark days. How does this year compare to those?
It's funny. It feels like a hybrid of the two because, of course, the first period you're referencing is the so-called dark years of the early 2000s where Penn State had four losing seasons in 5 years. I mean, I remember how miserable I was to be around as a person in the fall of 2003 because the football team was just so bad. It felt like it screwed up my entire life at that time. And there was not a whole lot of hope to be had in those moments, Jim. Just this thing that you had probably come to take for granted was without warning yanked out from underneath you, and it felt like this was just it. It's going to go to pieces, and who knows how it's going to come back. And then there was the time period following the Sandusky scandal where the team was not so good, had been ravaged by scandals and departures of players and just every manner of off-field distraction you could imagine, and probably several that you couldn't. And the team had been stripped of its ability to compete for bowl games. And yet, you were rooting for those teams maybe harder than you did a lot of the more talented, more successful teams in years past. And there was a little bit of this freedom of just going week to week. And when one game result was over, you tossed it in the trash can and you looked ahead to the next because you weren't worried about your position in the polls or how you were being set up for, you know, certainly not title contention or even – could you get to six wins and go to a bowl? It was just about each week compartmentalized to can you get the W this week and supporting the team. And so we've got the on-field failure and misery of the dark years. But I also feel like we have the week-to-week, all bets are off. I'm just going to take this season as it comes element of the scandal years because there is that glimmer of hope at the end of all of this, which is a new head coach coming in. And let's be honest, Jim, from all indicators, hitting a hard reset on Penn State football from top to bottom.
It is that time. You brought up a couple interesting points. I had one of our listeners in our Ask Andy segment a couple weeks ago put in the question about, isn't there a certain freedom when the expectations have been lowered? So you could just enjoy week to week the purity of the game. Can the team win this week? The difference is, though, from those years, which I did feel that way, and there was a certain extra enjoyment to the game. There wasn't games against, say, a Northwestern, and you assumed victory. You went in and you were really happy to get a win, no matter who it was against. I think the difference, though, with this year's team is so much talent and expectations so high that to watch this team disappoint week after week after week. And candidly, Chris, I really do not like this team. There's so much, I feel like, there's not an aspect of the team that I say I can hang my hat on. There's not they're not going to score on offense, but I know the defense will be good. And there's not the coaching, I think, has been awful. I think the effort has been lacking. Every unit has disappointed. You know, what is it about this team that you like?
Well, in 4 weeks, I'll like that their season is over. Yeah, no, your point is well taken, Jim. And as I watched the Ohio State game this past weekend, by the way, the most low-stress Ohio State game I can ever remember playing, I was legitimately just pleased that we held them to under 40 when I thought there was a legit chance they could top 50 and then put us in a position of having to stave off this Indiana offensive juggernaut and Kurt Cignetti going for the jugular late in the fourth quarter. Now, you know, they got to score 63 points this coming Saturday for us to look back and say, oh, we surrendered 100 points in 2 weeks, you know? So that was as close as you're going to get to a moral victory in this season. But as I was watching that game, I thought, man, there is such a wide gap in talent, execution, and coaching between these two teams. Everything could have gone swimmingly for Penn State, and we were still going to get our ass kicked in this game. We could have beaten UCLA and Northwestern and Iowa, and we could still be doing the Dance of the Seven Veils with James Franklin, and the result would have been not too much different. And I thought, that is on James. That is on the guy who was at the head of the organization. This team was rotten in the offseason. And we talked ourselves into it not being, and we took the national press along for the ride this time. But I am mildly disgusted that because of the goldfish brain we now have in the 24/7 internet-driven news cycle, and because you got Jimmy Sexton and Creative Artist Agency pulling the strings behind the scenes at ESPN and Fox, and the way the national narrative is being set, that he's going to escape almost complete culpability from the fact that this thing is just rotten from top to bottom. The coaching sucks. The talent's not nearly up to snuff. And the team is ill-prepared for the games. And they've looked that way all season, going all the way back to the Nevada game. And James Franklin needs to own a lot of responsibility for that. And it sickens me, mildly, but it does sicken me that he's going to get away from it. Going to get away with it, scot-free.
We're going to take a look at the game itself, Chris. But before we do, you talked in terms of this game showed the difference in talent. It certainly showed the difference in coaching, yeah, in preparation.
Profound organizational failure on every level that's pervasive. I mean, going all the way back to the offseason.
How is it that we were all fooled? How is it that we saw this? Let me give you my recap during the offseason, what we thought of this team, okay? It was an offensive line that excelled down the towards the end of last season. It was tremendous. And it looked like it was deeper and stronger this year. All right. That was our starting point, that offensive line. Excuse me. Losing all world tight end, Tyler Warren, there was no doubt. But we felt really good about that tight end room also. Wide receiver, we did a complete redo on it. Brought in three guys that most of us, we felt pretty good about them. They certainly weren't going to be as bad as last year's team. Even if they were just average, that would be a huge improvement over a year ago. We had Drew Aller, the five-star quarterback, coming back, who showed improvement in every year that he was here. On defense, yes, we lost the all-world Abdul Carter. But think about all Zane Durant, Denai Dennis Sutton, Tony Rojas, Akeem Wheatley, A.J. Harris, all these folks were coming back. All this talent, Chris. So were we just wrong in our evaluation of the talent? Were Tyler Warren and Abdul Carter so good that each one of them just made the total difference, one on offense, one on defense?
That feels like an oversimplification, but in retrospect, I think it's maybe a bigger factor than any of us would really like to admit. You don't want to think that your football team, your top 10 football team, is ultimately so paper thin that losing two star players, especially two of their caliber, is the difference between a few games away from the championship game and 3-6. But, here we are, Jim. And, Well, we're 3-5. Sorry, I don't want to give Indiana the win just yet. I do think that was part of it. I think that we underestimated the degree to which the disruptive influence of Abdul Carter and the dominance of Tyler Warren elevated everyone around them and made them look better. That said, that offensive line did play exceptionally well last year. We did see flashes of great potential throughout his career from Drew Aller. Nick Singleton and Catron Allen are where they are in the career rushing records for a reason. And these defensive players are more talented than they've shown. But as the old man used to say, famously, you never stay the same. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. And from top to bottom, organizationally, Jim, we just got worse. Did you ever have milk in your refrigerator that is right at its expiration date? And you take a little drink of that milk and you're like, ooh, mmm. I don't care what it says on the bottle. This thing is past its sell-by date. You've had that experience?
Of course, we all have.
Yeah, well, the taste you have in your mouth when that happens is familiar to Penn State fans everywhere, because as I am watching this team and looking at this organization, it's clear to me that it had run its course by the end of last year. We thought the sell-by date was the end of 2025, maybe. That's when we were going to break up the band and everyone was going to go their merry way. No, it was almost 12 months ago now, and we're only realizing it as we got to the fall of 2025. And I think because of that, because the souring had already started, that began at the top. As I said, James has responsibility for that. And then I think everyone from his assistants to their players in their own way caught the whiff of it. They detected it. And across the board, this organization got worse, not better.
It did. And the part that gets to me, though, is, again, this model where players who could have moved on to play on Sunday chose to stay behind. You would think that would be the indicator of something special going on. Individual players who were saying, no, I'm not ready to move on and live my dream in the NFL. I've still got this dream left at the collegiate level. I'm foregoing that, meaning the NFL, so I could come back and be part of something special. Chris, we're going to pick it up from there when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Chris Buccanani. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about this Penn State football team in general before we get into details of the Ohio State game. But, Chris, you were talking in terms of it was a disappointment from top to bottom. And it was, and it is. But my argument is the actual physical talent of the players on the field, there's a lot of talent there. The question becomes, what happened? Me personally, and I think this is probably agreeing with your assessment, between especially James Franklin and his two coordinators, that's about as bad a job as I've ever seen happen in a collegiate program.
Yeah, you know, it unfortunately, as so often is the case in life, Jim, it makes more sense in retrospect than it does before or during, right? But when I sit back and I do the post-mortem and I think about it, okay, I clearly, just clearly, the James Franklin who showed up in 2014 and gave that high-energy press conference and was talking about doing backhand springs out of bed and blowing up balloons at kids' parties and everything. And the James we saw on the sidelines and then the recruiting trail through the first several years of his tenure at Penn State was not the James Franklin we were getting over the last 12 to 24 months. You know, I a lot of people have theorized that it turned on COVID. I think there's some validity to that. And as we look back on it, that may be the conclusion. But, I even give the guy some grace. You may not realize it in your own life, but there are times when, you know, the spark has gone out of things and you're starting to lose focus and your attention is starting to drift and you're just not given 100%, even if you believe that you are. And when I think about the way James Franklin had his team prepared for UCLA and for Northwestern and the way he looked and acted and spoke before and after those games, that's the behavior of a guy who had just come to the end of the rope with where he was at. I think, Jim, I've even said it on this show before. I know I've said it elsewhere. I think he was burnt out, maybe burnt out in general and burnt out certainly on Penn State in particular. The relationships with the community, the fan base, the boosters, certainly the administration. We know how things went sour in his pursuit of another contract extension during the summer prior to this season. I just think all of those things had been building up over a period of time. And like I said, they came to a head probably in a way that even he didn't realize. And a little bit earlier than you would have liked. The milk went sour just before its sell-by date. And then I think, whether it was conscious or just spidey sense, every football coach has enlightened self-preservation in the back of their minds. It's a not-for-long business, and they're always cognizant of the fact that if a few things go wrong, they're going to be looking for work and they're going to be on their own. And so I think James's subordinates picked up on that. You know, Andy Kotelnicki was clearly not the genius he was made out to be when we hired him. Jim Knowles very well may be on his Walmart greeter job here at Penn State, making $3 million a year. And then the position coaches, you know, these are young guys with families who are not making millions and millions of dollars a year. Again, did they know this and think it consciously? I got to have one foot out the door. I got to have my eye on where the exit is. Or was it just their subconscious, their lizard brain telling them that? Either way, my theory is that they picked up on it. And then that trickled down to how they coached their players. I think the players picked up on it. And again, just like James had maybe probably overstayed his sell-by date a little bit here at Penn State, I think maybe a lot of those guys, Jim, thought they were ready to spend one more year in college football and go at this for one more time. But Goon has talked about this a lot. Like, after a certain point, when you transition from being an adolescent to a young adult, the hyper-control college football has over your life, especially now when you hear stories about Drew Aller spending 12 hours a day in the Lash building, it just gets old. You're done with it. You're sick of it and ready to move on. And so the fact that those guys in January, when they were all hyped up about running it back and winning a championship and getting one more big payday, thought they were ready for it, and the reality of whether or not they really wanted to go through that rigmarole one more time as they're getting into their early 20s, I think was just a wider gap than anybody could have thought. And so it was a perfect storm of everything I just laid out, all hitting at once in the worst possible way at the worst possible time.
I hear you, Chris. My problem with that theory, though, is going into the year. First of all, I hated hearing about James Franklin trying to use leverage again during the offseason for a new contract. I hated hearing about it years ago. I hated hearing about it again. But with these players, they consciously chose to come back. James Franklin went into this with, this is my best team, the most talent, the best coaching staff. If you were ever, you know, had an inclination to be burned out, that alone should have refreshed you, okay? A run for a national championship, that the goal he's had all his life. So it could be very true, but it's also very disappointing if true. I'm also going to put a lot of this on the coordinators, Chris, because they're we are not football coaches, okay? We don't have all the X's and O's background. We watch, we make observations, we think we know. One of the things that I go by, though, is no football coach is a genius. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be a football coach, okay?
As Joe Theismann said, a genius is someone like Norman Einstein.
Right, exactly. You're not a genius by coaching football. And what strikes me is how often we saw on television, the color guy, Penn State, UCLA, Gary Danielson. How in the world can we let on defense this quarterback constantly on third down escape? You've got to adjust to it. And it appeared it was never adjusted. And Gary Danielson, he didn't say that after the game. He said it very early in the game. So there are people observing. You saw this in the Ohio State game where you have the color guy saying, hey, Joe Klatt saying, Penn State's running wide, giving Nick Singleton an opportunity on the edge. That appears to be working. I could see Penn State going back to that. And they never went back to that, Chris. So it's not just us here on our couches pretending that we know. These are people who've seen a lot of football. I mean, this is the same Joel Klatt who said, you know, when Ohio State got to midfield, oh, this is when they like to go deep. What'd they do, Chris? They went deep. I think the guy knows what he's talking about, and he's talking about this early enough before it was a problem. So how is it that the guy up in the booth calling the game seems to understand this, but the coordinators do not?
Yeah, I wish I had a great answer for you. To me, I feel like I'm almost paying these guys a backhanded compliment when I say it just seems like they don't care. Like, they're distracted. They're disengaged. Because the other option is that they're just so bad at their jobs that the stuff that's evident to the color commentators isn't obvious to them, even though they devote their entire lives to this and are paid handsomely to do it. And I don't believe that's the case. I can't lay it out any simpler than I already have. We thought we had one more run left in us as an organization, top to bottom, coaches, players, you name it. And we didn't. I don't know. Did you ever make a bad professional decision in your life, Jim, where you went into it and you thought, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be, you know, new job, different, you know, job description that I want, more money, whatever. And then it turns out that it was just a bit, you know, just didn't work out. It was bad. It was a bad choice. And the frustrating thing is you do everything right in the decision-making process. You evaluate and weigh all the factors. You come to what is the logical conclusion, and it's still wrong. It's kind of how this season feels to me.
Sometimes it's a matter of, you talk about making professional decisions. Oh, yeah, I have some major regrets, okay? And what seemed like a good fit was not. And the problem with that is you thought here, you know, Jim Knowles coming over, for him to make the decision to come to Penn State after he won a national championship, you know, with the rival Ohio State Buckeyes. So he was in a pretty good position for him to choose to leave it to come here when he had several options must have been him saying, hey, this looks like a pretty good setup. Andy Kotelnicki, you know, this is a guy who was destined for a head coaching job somewhere, right? You'd think he'd have a pretty good incentive this year with a lot of talent to do the job well. Whether the team wins or not, he needs the offense to excel. So he came up short. And I'm going to throw one more culprit in there, Chris, and that I've talked about, I've preached about, teams have succeeded when they've succeeded at bringing in the right quarterback. Indiana is Exhibit A. 2 years in a row, Chris, he made an A-plus decision on the quarterback he brought in.
Yeah.
The quarterback was a major letdown this season. In those 3 out-of-conference games, he did not look good, did he? You could point at him as the reason that offense didn't look very good. You could point at that Oregon game and say he had opportunities to win that game, and he did not do it, Chris. So I'm also going to put something on his shoulders.
Yeah, no question. And James Franklin has his faults, and not all of them are bad, really, because loyalty is one of them. And in a way, I commend it and I respect it. But clearly, in this case, his loyalty to Drew Aller ended up costing him and Penn State significantly.
All right, Chris, I keep threatening it. We're going to actually talk about the Penn State-Ohio State game. How about we do that? We're going to do that when we come back right after this break. Make sure you stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris, I'm Jim. It's quarter number 3 of our show. Just a reminder, you all know, Go PSURV, a longtime sponsor of the Keystone Sports Network, and 15-year provider of RV tailgating in Happy Valley, well, they're changing the name. They're going to become Blue White RV. Same great team that fans have come to know, but with more lodging and tailgating options than ever. As always, just show up and let the experienced staff provide everything needed for a relaxed, hassle-free RV tailgating experience, including tailgate games, fire pits, food, and the pavilion showing all college football games all weekend, plus transportation and assistance in obtaining game tickets. We were Go PSURV. Now we are Blue White RV. If you want more information, call 800-519-8467. You know what? When I stay in town for the weekend, Chris, that's where I stay. It's a great time. Maybe the best part of it is the shuttle. You don't have to worry about parking at the stadium. They will take you back and forth. Sometimes they even have beer on the bus. Can't beat that.
Yeah, let me just make a quick comment on that before we move on to Ohio State. I understand that the team has not been what anybody hoped for this season. Trust me, I am as downcast and frustrated as anyone about it. I will say this, though. Jim, I've maintained for a very long time that Penn State football, for as great and as fun as it is, and as rewarding typically as it is to be a fan of the football team, is really just a means to an end. It's not an ends unto itself. The ends is if you're fortunate enough to be able to be up here in Happy Valley and be part of the tailgate scene and maybe be inside Beaver Stadium, but to reunite with friends or family and just participate in the autumn ritual, that's what it's really all about. And I've enjoyed the opportunity to refocus on the stuff that is most important to me as a Penn Stater this season, because I haven't enjoyed too much of the football. And it's been, honestly, it's been kind of an emotional roller coaster just watching what happened to James Franklin and seeing my alma mater become a place that fires the head football coach. I had a lot of conflicting emotion about all of that. And nevertheless, man, I've never been happier or prouder to be a Penn Stater, because it's still great, man. And we've had great tailgates, and I've hung out with people I love and had a great time, and I still get to, you know, gaze at Mount Nittany from my tailgate spot and really appreciate everything that's great about being up here. So, you know, you talked about assistance getting football tickets. Trust me, you're not going to need too much assistance for the last two home games. Don't miss the opportunity to come up here if you can. We had kind of a pretty dry summer, so the autumn colors have hit late. You'll still be able to come up and see the, you know, the leaves this weekend against Indiana. And I know the blue-white RV guys, they make it all the better, because it really is like a turnkey experience where they take a lot of the unpleasant parts out of the process for you. But yeah, come on up and visit us here in Happy Valley this weekend.
Well, it is still about that getting together. And oftentimes it's tough for me. You know, I'm an hour and a half away in the best of times, okay, as for traveling, let alone on a football weekend. But that drive along Interstate 80, Chris, in the fall is incredible. You talk about the fall foliage. And it's interesting, our friend Dustin Schutte, who's on the show every week, writes about Big Ten football. He's never been to State College for a game. Never been here. Couple weeks, he and his fiance are coming in for the Nebraska game. It still means something, not just for us here as Penn Staters, but for outsiders. I mean, it is a bucket list kind of event to be in State College, to experience the tailgating and everything else. And what they do at Blue White RV is they kind of extend that weekend, that tailgating experience. So, in fact, Dustin and his fiance are going to be staying there for that weekend that they come in, and they are so excited about it. All right. We'll go from those happy thoughts, Chris, to the conversation.
Sorry, everybody. I delayed it as long as I possibly could.
You did an excellent job of it too, Chris. But we got to hit on some of it, because there was so much there in this game that I saw that I do want to talk about. And first of all, they went and gave us hope, okay, in the first half, in that second quarter. And it was a contribution by Ohio State. And with the fumble, turned a short field into a touchdown. And it was at that point, it's 17-14 going into the second half. And my comment was, you know what? That first possession by Ohio State is going to mean so much. And this team just laid an egg in that third quarter. Just, yeah. You'd think at halftime, you know, there's this discussion in the halftime. Guys, we're in this game. We're right where we want to be. This is where you would think all of that other stuff, if there were issues with the head coach, if there were issues with the locker room, if anything could put a team together, this would be it. Okay. And here's what happened in that third quarter, where you're expecting or hoping this team to come out ready to play. Total offense. Ohio State, 12 plays, 144 yards. Passes completed versus attempted, 7 for 7. Penn State ran 13 plays, more plays than Ohio State. Those 13 plays netted 18 yards, Chris. This was not a team that came out of the locker room inspired. I don't know about you. I felt this team just, they didn't even show up in that second half. They looked uninterested. They didn't tackle well. They threw in the towel. That disappointed me.
Yeah, well, what we did in that first half is not just give Penn State fans hope. We went and made Ohio State mad, you know, which was probably not the greatest idea to tug on Superman's cape. But what are you going to do, right? You got to try to win the football game, Jim. You can't just go in there and roll over out of the gate. So to their credit, they gave everything they had in the tank, which was not much. It was barely two quarters worth. And then they rolled over. I mean, look, there's a wide talent gap. There's an even wider heart gap, man. This is just a team with no will, no leadership at all, none. They don't want to be here, and that is not a recipe for beating a pedestrian football team, let alone a Death Star like Ohio State.
Well, I think also I have issues with the offensive coordinator, and I would like to hit up a couple points on that.
Yeah, please do. Please do, because it was a shameful performance by Andy Kotelnicki.
It was. The quarterback, let's say, he was a little bit skittish. The offensive line didn't help out. But with that said, you know, occasionally you got to throw it north and south, okay? Not east and west. How bad was it, Chris? Let me share with you a statistic that I found really fascinating. Penn State threw the ball for a grand total of 145 yards, okay? 102 of the 145 yards were yards after the catch, which means down the field, beyond the line of scrimmage, there was only a total of 43 yards. 26 of those yards came from that completion to Kobe Howard on that last drive, okay? Until that point, Chris, there had been, if I could do my math here, about 18 yards of forward progress with the ball in the air going beyond the line of scrimmage. And if you want to look at individual players, Nick Singleton, well, Devontae Ross, total of 26 yards, 24 of those yards after the catch. Khalil Dinkins, all 12 of his yards came after the catch. Trevor Peña somehow netted 11 yards and still had 17 yards after the catch, okay? He's catching the ball behind the line of scrimmage. Same with Nick Singleton was negative on this. He had 28 total yards and 36 yards after the catch. I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers out there, but what they mean is none of these completions were beyond the line of scrimmage. Don't you at least have to give your quarterback any chance at all, have to call some plays where he throws the ball forward?
Let me ask you this, Jim. I've been thinking about this the last several weeks. There was all this talk coming out of the firing of Mike Yurcich that Penn State's offense needed to get more creative. And, oh, we were going to have this creative, mind-blowing, you know, something new every week offense under Andy Kotelnicki, creative genius. When you look at the personnel that Penn State has right now, do you think we would have had more success this season if we just ran Fran Ganner's playbook from the 1990s?
Give me anybody's playbook. What was it? What was Jay Paterno's offense called?
What was the spread HD?
But there you go.
I won't bring that up, Jim, because we've already watched multiple offensive coordinators try to hammer the square peg into a round hole of using a pro style pocket quarterback in a run pass threat, dual threat quarterback's offense, which is what that spread HD offense was. And it ran beautifully and worked great when it was run by Darryl Clark. It's not the sort of thing I would put Ethan Grunkemeyer in. So, yeah, I think it is the same thing with Drew Aller, right? You just needed something that was better suited to a traditional pocket quarterback who works from the pocket. But, yeah, the goofy trick plays, the Liam Clifford wildcat package, which, you know, is whatever. But when you choose to use it as odd, the crazy like triple reverse pass that ends up losing 18 yards and killing a drive, the, you know, just going away from the success you're having on the ground. I don't understand any of it. I don't understand any of it. And I'm struggling to come up with a rational framework to understand all of it. And the only one I can come up with is that the guys are just checked out. Their heart's not in it. And so therefore their head's not in it. Their attention wanders and they're not dialed in. And again, you won't win a game against the middle of the road team with that kind of approach. You won't come close against Ohio State.
And they did not. When we come back, Chris, I want to talk about the fact that so much of this is laid on James Franklin, and I think fairly and rightly so. But shouldn't we see something different going on if James was the issue? Maybe a little change in attitude? We'll talk about it when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Chris. I'm Jim. Chris, when we finished up quarter three, I was talking about James Franklin. There was something wrong in this locker room, okay? There was an issue. There was a problem. The way they played, after they lost to Oregon, they turned that one loss into three losses under James Franklin this year. Something was amiss, attitude, whatever. Now, you now have three losses when James Franklin is dismissed. And at this point, hey, you don't have that much to play for anymore. You're not going to make the playoffs. You have nothing else. But don't you still have pride? And if it's you want to lay the blame on James Franklin, wouldn't there be other people who want to say, hey, look, let's change the attitude here. Let's show what we are about. If you're Andy Kotelnicki, aren't you coaching for your next job? Aren't you coaching for your livelihood? Don't you care? If you're the position coaches, the same thing. The players, you're playing for a Sunday contract. And, you know, Drew Shelton turned into a turnstile. We saw UCLA. They thought they weren't going to win a game. They fire the coach, bring in new people. They played with pride. And again, UCLA is not going to be the greatest team in the world. But after that coaching change, I think we saw an attitude adjustment there. Did you see an attitude adjustment with this Penn State team, or was it just more of the same?
I don't want to say there was no noticeable difference in the caliber of football played against Iowa and Ohio State than we saw in the first six games of the year, because there was. It's very hard to judge a team that has been put through the emotional ringer, and let's just be honest, does not seem like a group of guys who top to bottom are especially well prepared to endure the rigors of any kind of intense emotional instability. And so they're dealing with that. They're not that well prepared between the ears to deal with it. I think we maybe just have overestimated the ability, the football ability of a lot of these guys. And then they got to go on the road in two very difficult environments against very good teams. In Ohio State's case, probably the best team in the country. And they got to do it with a redshirt freshman quarterback. I mean, there are, I'm not making excuses, but I do think you have to be realistic about just how much of a shift you can see from a team that played pretty badly through most of the season prior to the firing of James Franklin and has played more or less pretty badly ever since, but with flashes of at least some of that inspiration from Terry Smith when he talks about requiring effort of his players. But man, it is just, it's not an inspiring group of guys. I find myself not at all heartbroken that this team is going to be scattered to the wind after this season.
Oh, I'm with you on that, but I still was looking for some pride, individuals, units, and there was not one thing in this game. I found it interesting, Chris, the announcers in calling the game when Julian Sain had several good pass, deep passes, and they talked about him and didn't talk about the protection that he got. He had all day. He just sat back there. Where was the rush from this defensive line that was supposed to be very talented? We saw nothing from them. And then we saw the DBs get beat deep. We saw the linebackers not tackling. What aspect did you see anything that you said, well, at least that guy's working hard or that unit is doing well? I found disappointment in every aspect of the game, every player, every coach, everything. And late in the game, Chris, when all that's left is pride, and I said, you know what, the way these guys are, Ohio State's going to, you know, the next running play, they'll probably go for 50 yards, and they did. You know, it was just, at that point, it was total lack of effort. I know the game's over. I know it. The game is over. But don't you have a little bit of pride in yourself?
I think on an individual player-to-player basis, that probably is the case. Keep in mind, Jim, it's a weird combination of seniors who have probably been around too long and underclassmen who haven't been around long enough. And when you're not getting a lot of leadership from the top, the seniors can check out and say, listen, I did my time for King and Country. I'm done with this. And then they give no example for the younger players to emulate, so that you maybe don't have that group that can come together among the young class and assert themselves. Listening to Noble and Goon talk about the 1992 season kind of does remind me of where this team is at. We had a really talented team that lost early to Miami. And you had a bunch of guys who at that point started thinking about their own stuff, whether it was going on to the NFL or getting one last fall of partying in at Penn State or you name it. And if you have bad leadership inside the locker room, you know, it's you get the opposite of what that 2005 team was or the 2012 team, where the oldest guys on the team, the guys who were no longer adolescents, the guys who were young men, they set an example and set a standard for everyone in the building. You know, like I remember hearing a story from Jordan Hill when he was a freshman. I think it was Jared Odrick was trying to work him through a drill and talk him through it. So Jordan jogged through the drill at the direction of, I think it was Odrick, it was some upperclassman. And Navarro Bowman just came over and ripped him a new one, just screaming at him, F-bomb him. This is not what we do here. This is not Penn State football. He didn't understand that it was one of his fellow upperclassmen trying to walk him through the drill. But here he saw a freshman jogging through a drill in the offseason, and you had Navarro Bowman, who was a senior at that time, just tear into him. And that's the kind of team culture, organizational culture, that maybe can squeeze a little bit more out of a season like the one we're going through. But very often you don't go through a season like this if you have that, and we don't.
All right, Chris. Is there anything that we could look forward to seeing? Because it feels like the coaches have checked out, the players have checked out. You know, I want to say in this scenario, you play the young players, but, you know, get them some experience for next year. We don't know how many of them will even be around.
Right.
Is it time for the fans to check out?
Man, I know the temptation is going to be there. I hope people don't. I hope they take a little pride in being Penn Staters, as I just talked about. I'll say this. You know, my top three, I think, are Hartline, Brougham, and Manny Diaz, and they all won this past weekend. So you can scoreboard watch and root for your coaching candidate of choice to win or lose as the circumstances dictate to make him hireable by Penn State. But I will say this. Things look pretty bleak this Saturday with Indiana coming to town. Hard to believe that we're saying that, but it's college football in 2025. There's three more winnable games left on the schedule after that. I don't know if we'll play in a bowl game if we qualify, but it sure would be nice to not have a losing season. If I'm Terry Smith, my message to those guys is to say, look, I don't care where you think you're going when this year's over. The NFL, the transfer portal, whatever. Understand that for a lot of you, more than you think, these might be the last meaningful downs of football you play in your life. A game you've been playing since you were a little kid, for many of you, and you don't realize it, is about to come to an end. So play these last three games, like whether it is or it not, it isn't. You don't know what the future will hold, but play them like they're the last you've got left in your football career. Because we haven't had a great season, but we're sure as hell better than Michigan State, Nebraska, and Rutgers. Let's go out and not have our legacy be a losing season. And I think there's still a possibility that we do that. I think there's still a possibility that Terry is persuasive enough a leader and respected enough a man and coach that he could get the locker room to respond to that message and just look at themselves and say, I don't want to go out a loser. And that's what we have to look forward to. Three teams that are on our level. Ohio State and Indiana, they're not on our level, man. They're going to the playoffs and they're contending for a championship.
And
we just got to play out the string here, ride out this season, and hope that we can beat the teams we're good enough to beat.
See, Chris, the pregame speech that you just gave is what I want to hear from these coaches, but I want to see players that respond to it. And I realize that Ohio State team is really good. They are. They're the best team I've seen in the country, okay? They may or may not win a national championship, but I think they're the best team in the country. And no shame in losing to them. But what I saw in that performance was from the coaching staff to the players, I didn't see that all-out effort. I didn't see that, you know what, we may not be what we want to be. We're not going to win a national championship. We're not going to be in the playoffs. But we can make a name for ourselves here if we can beat this Ohio State team. And next week they have another opportunity against a really good Indiana team. And winning the game, it won't mean anything else except for pride. And they're home for this game against Indiana. I'd like to see them at least play with that kind of pride, give that kind of effort, even if they don't win the game. I don't think I saw that against Ohio State.
Yeah, and there's nothing to make you think you're going to see that against Indiana. They're just so well coached. They execute so crisply. And Kurt Cignetti's a killer, man. He understands, even though we're wounded and even though we're in the middle of a coaching transition, what it will mean for the brand of Indiana football to go into Beaver Stadium and lay the lumber to Penn State. And
Is Indiana more talented, their players, than Penn State players?
They might not have as much God-given athletic talent, but there's no question they're better football players and for sure a better football team.
All right, something to look forward to this weekend then. Penn State hosting Indiana. Chris, at least you and I Friday are going to be in downtown State College at the new Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll get a chance to talk about it. We're going to be there from 2 to 4. please come down, join us, have some pregame fun. Chris, thank you for joining me today. Thank all of you for joining us. Make sure you come back next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.